This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, we thank you. I give you praise. Lord Jesus, I honor you. Your presence is here and is strong. Thank you for your angel you have assigned to this church and the angel you have also assigned to help me today. I just pray, Lord, I will be faithful. I'll be faithful. In the time that is given, I'll be faithful. Known to you are all your work. You are the one, I believe, who ordained that I should be in Love City this morning. You are the one who have ordained it. And Lord, I pray that ordination, let it bring that exact thing you have in mind. Thank you for the word you have put in my heart already that I saw, that will also come to pass. I've said them as I saw it, and it will come to pass. It will surely come to pass. Let's open our Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Because eternal salvation is not for them that believe him. It's for them that obey him. The key is obedience, not believing. So this is not new birth. You can be born again and not receive eternal salvation. You can be saved and not be saved eternally. Eternal salvation is not eternal security. So this one is to let you know this eternal salvation is salvation with eternal glory. This eternal salvation is salvation with eternal glory, which is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. They should obtain the elect here, already born again. I just feel I should start from there like that. The elect here, already born again. Before you can be made an elect, you must have been called. Bible says called, chosen, and faithful. So the elect here are those who have obeyed faith. According to Titus chapter 1, verse 1, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. So faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So they have made elect already. Then Paul is now saying it was enduring all things for the sake of the elect, so that the elect can obtain. It means the elect have not obtained. The elect have not obtained the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. There is the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. There is something called the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So this administration is for them that obey him. Is the author of eternal salvation to them. That eternal salvation is salvation with eternal glory. Because there are different calibrations of salvation. But there is the peak of salvation. That is salvation with eternal glory. But this one is for them that obey him. You need to obey Jesus before he can give you the salvation that is in him. To obtain the salvation as in Jesus, you need to obey him. Obedience to the voice of the Son of God. The Son of God must be obeyed. So the key is obedience. Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 7:25. He said, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. You can see the word saving to the uttermost. Is saving to the end. There is a saving and salvation to the uttermost. Uttermost salvation. When you are saved to the uttermost, you are saved as God. But please, some of this word, they look blasphemous. But in the real sense, that is the ordination of God. You should be as saved as God. Believe me honestly, not save lesser than God. God does not want man to be saved lesser than him. God wants man to be as saved as himself. Because the project from the beginning is let us make man in our image after our likeness. God could have said, let us make man close to us. Man should be exact resemblance of God. Man should be exact resemblance of God. If man does not resemble God exactly, then the purpose behind creation of man is not yet achieved. If man does not end up becoming exactly like God, the purpose behind creating man is not yet achieved. God will still have to wait for another generation that can become exact representation of God. Exact. So when I say to be as saved as God, how many of you know that Jesus is the person that brought accurate definition of God to mankind? Jesus is the person, the man that brought accurate definition of God. There are different definitions of God that man has labeled God with. God is not against it, but God knows this is not me. People name God based on their experience, which we all know in the church, Jehovah Jireh, is because the Lord made provision. The Lord, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi. All those things, they are actually based on experiences of men. When I was growing up, people also labeled God based on their experience. When fashion entered church, the evolution that came to church in the world of fashion also made people give God a name, Jehovah Evisi. Jehovah Tush Tush. Then later, where you know, in the season when we're praying prayer for 11-hour miracle, Jehovah Sharp Sharp. And you know, sometimes God is very humorous. Sometimes I say Jehovah Evisi and God may not slap anybody. God just checked the heart. But you see, nobody has been able to bring accurate definition to who God is. There are things God does. There is who God is. God can do things. Doesn't mean you know his person. So the person of God is Jesus Christ that brought accurate definition to God. And that's why his name was called Jesus. The word Jesus means God is salvation. Not God does salvation. God is. That is who he is. That is who he is. Amen. Well, Yeshua means God is salvation. Jesus Christ defined who God is. That God is salvation. Though that salvation may not be known with men, but later, Jesus will reveal what that salvation is. So when we say God is salvation, is to clearly define who his essence is. God's essence is salvation. God's essence. He can be Jehovah Jireh, can be Jehovah Nissi, can give us, you can also have your experience. You know, Jehovah escape. Maybe you escape something and then see Jehovah. It doesn't matter. You know, I realize that God is very large-hearted. God is large-hearted. God won't slap you if you say Jehovah. No, just that's the experience you got. No problem. It's just introduction of myself. But his essence is salvation. To be as saved as God is to be fashioned in his likeness. To be fashioned. That's to say, what God cannot do, you can't do it. What God cannot do, you can't do it. What God cannot do. I know there are people who say that what God cannot do does not exist. But there are things God cannot do. God cannot sing. You know, when we were young that time, there's a song they taught us in our church. And they call it, there's something God cannot do. And we knew there's nothing God cannot do. So the singer came to sing, there is something God cannot do. All of us want to know what God cannot do. He said, God can do this, God can do, but there's something God cannot do. All of us say, just tell us. You have been telling us what God can do. What is it that God cannot do? He will sing, there's nothing God cannot do. God can heal you. And we know. Yeah, tell us. Until he said the last song, he said, God can never make a mistake. That thing brought worship to the atmosphere. Everybody in church, 1993, all of us. He said, it's true. God cannot make mistake. But it is human to make mistake. But you can be as saved as God that you don't make mistake. No. You have to understand that. I know people say it's not possible. If it's not possible, then you are telling God you are a liar. When I had an experience with Jesus, that's why my mind changed. He was just talking to me. And he told me something very powerful. He said, in my lifetime, I didn't make a mistake. Then he began to shift my understanding. He told me, he said, if he sinned, there will be no remission for that sin. He made me know that I have privilege of grace than himself. That I had privilege of grace than himself. In the sense that if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. But if he sin, there will be no blood. Who will he fall upon as an advocate? He was our last man standing. He's the last Adam. It was the last Adam. So he couldn't fall back on Adam. Adam sinned. He couldn't fall back on Abel because they're still sin. And blood, is it blood of bull and goat? So he let me know one thing, that when he was on earth, he lived a very strict life. It doesn't mean we should not smile, though. If we smile, if our smile is a sin, we can be forgiven. But I think his life was tailored. Tailored life. Tailored life. He said he was under divine scrutiny. Divine scrutiny. Jesus was being scrutinized. The friend he should walk with, who should be closer to him? Who should not be close? Is even supervising those things. When he was 12, 13, 14, there are some guests that they are allowed to come to Jesus. Nobody did that lesson that the angel chased them away. They will tell Jesus, don't walk with that one. Don't relate with that one. They pick everything about it. What was he trying to tell me? He was human. When he was on earth, he was human. Jesus was a man. He didn't live on this earth as God. If it was God, it would be a bit free. He was man. He was constrained. Even if that carpentry was the design, Jesus could learn under Gamaliel. He could learn under teachers of the law. Jesus could learn. But they knew that learning would corrupt something in him. Because sometimes when you know too much, you can be teaching God. God is not against knowledge, but sometimes we feel we know. So they tailored Jesus in a kind of life until he was 30. So the thing was saying, when I say, I don't do anything, I say, what I see my Father do. I don't know if you know Jesus Christ said that. I want you to see salvation as an estate of life, an attainment in the spirit, where what God cannot do, you can't do it. There's a phase where you avoid some things. There's a phase where you can't afford some things. Nobody can afford not to make mistake. It's part of our growth as man. But there's a stage you come to where you don't make mistake. Because you are having judgment, the way God has judgment. So when Jesus Christ said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do, is the training he has received over years. It's not what just started that time. Because that period, he had much exposure, much temptation. He had ministry. Jesus Christ started ministry at the age of 30. He was a minister for just three years. But what Jesus Christ did for 3 years, he learned them for 30 years. before he was exposed to ministry of that order. Nobody ministered on earth the way Jesus Christ ministered. There are something people said, we have never seen this thing happen before, and they give glory to God. But you see, this ministry is an approval of God, that a man has exercised himself in a live conversation that Jesus Christ could be trusted with spirit without measure. Jesus has spirit without measure. In obedience to the Father. He was exercising himself in obedience to the Father. Exercise himself in obedience. According to the measure of proportion of truth or judgment they gave to Jesus, he was exercising himself. So when he said the Son can do nothing, he said what he sees the Father do, it was not just what he was trying to do. He has been doing it over time. Doing it. Doing it. Doing it. Doing it. Until he came to mastery of life. Because I told the theme of this thing is reigning in life. He came into mastery of life. So, because you see, there are certain things we don't know now, like he knew then. The realm of the spirit is not just dormant like that. When Jesus Christ said the Son cannot do anything, he said what he sees the Father do. He didn't just speak to men. He spoke to the realm of the spirit too. He spoke to spirit realm as confirmation. That is to say, what he said will be confirmed and be tested. Not only by angels of God who are looking at a kind of man they have not seen for a long time. Michael, Gabriel, they were seeing a kind of man they had not seen for a long time. Jesus was different. They knew about his birth. Gabriel was the one that proclaimed Jesus' birth to Mary and to Joseph. They knew. They didn't know Jesus was God. No angel knew that which was born of Mary was the Word. They didn't know Word. No angel knew Word. Angel knew Elohim. They knew the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know Word. Word was hidden. Satan didn't know Word. They used to think they were two. No, no, they were three. The Word was hidden. So when Jesus was born, they just felt it was part of the program of God for redemption of man. That a virgin will conceive. You know, angels no Bible. Satan no Bible, you know. He has his own copy. He has his own copy that he reads from. He studied Bible too. Just to bring you down. Not that he's to know God. He just wants to see parchment of prophecy. It's been written, a virgin shall conceive. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. So they know, Gabriel, they know that a virgin shall conceive and shall give birth. But they don't know that conception, that virgin was conceiving was Word that was made flesh. They didn't know that. It was hidden from them. It's only Father and Holy Ghost that knew. That one of them has been converted. But when they saw his life, his manner of life on earth, they knew this man is different. His conversation was different. His perspective was different. The way he saw things, you know, angels were monitoring him. And angels were watching when Satan was tempting him too. When he was in the wilderness, Satan tempted Jesus. Angels were watching. And for the first time, they saw a man that defeated Satan. And that was not in Eden. A man in Galilee. A carpenter. Not somebody in the wilderness. Wearing garments cloth. And not that alone, eating locusts. like John, white only. This was a man living with a family. The man was a carpenter, a professional, a businessman, an artist, an engineer. I'm not saying anything you are now, it doesn't matter. You don't need to say, I want to go to maybe a place where I can stay all day. I want to be going out 2 hours per day. That's not what makes an overcomer. Jesus was a carpenter. Not a furniture maker. Carpenter. You know, they are different. But they have never seen such a man before. That heaven will expose and he will beat Satan, beat devil down with all the temptation, all the promises. So they knew this man was different. But you see, the difference has been counted by exercise of life. Jesus was doing in his father's house. The same way now, you are, all of us are having exercise of life in our father's house. This church is our father's house. Do you know the sweetest news in this world is that you can be like God. Even the yes, you know, people are always afraid. Anytime I mention you can be like God, people are always afraid. I noticed that, sincerely speaking. When I mention you can be like God, some people just frown their face immediately. Like, don't talk like that. It's a spirit. It's religious spirit. It's Satan's training for man to forget God. You should be like God. Will we all be like God? In Jesus' name. I was talking about our father's house. This is our father's house. We should be exercising ourselves in obedience. Exercise. Please, don't wait till a time when you'll be able to exercise again. So we'll begin to see that a time will come when it will not be easy to exercise. Because what will be against you will be too much for you. It will be too much. It will be too much. It's like all this affair. But when we have grace, we should exercise ourselves. So Jesus exercised himself unto the point when Jesus, man Jesus, the man Jesus, I told you, that day was a revolution for me. I used to know Jesus Christ was man, but I felt that he was God-man. He was partly God, then partly man. That, you know, so that's why he had those breakthroughs. That's why he was sinless. I used to feel he's God in the flesh. But he made me know, no, he was man. He let me know he was not God. In fact, for the first time after, I began to see that Jesus Christ, when he was born and he grew up, he never knew he was God. The memory of divinity, the memory of Trinity was removed. They removed the understanding. Jesus didn't know he was God. He didn't remember, not even a dream. That, I remember. No! Until a time in his life that the understanding was restored. Jesus at 12 was not talking as God. You know, God is ancient, then you know 12. Just looking at you, David Boone. The way he even talks. No, he was normal boy at 12. Normal boy. That 12-year-old is a normal man, normal boy. He grew normally. But all of us, you know, is abnormal growth. Am I being sure? You don't know my age, I'm 40. Oh, you know you are abnormal in your growth. That 40 is 40-year-old insane. Sometimes, you know, we're proud of our age. But there's nothing to glory in age. That's why I thank God that if I'm 35, and 25-year-old want to marry me as a lady, I'll go for him. See, if you don't think like that, you are telling me you are still far from the course of salvation. What is 10 years? What is it? Can you marry Jesus if he was 25 and you are 35? If Jesus were a 25-year-old guy and came to you, Jesus, won't you marry Jesus? He's a father. 25-year-old, the way he thinks, in the absence of sin, you don't know what makes us age is sin. A man weaving with seven spirits at the age of 25 is like 80 years old. 120. Look at just guy ministering in the temple. He said, daughter, you are healed. To a woman who has been afflicted, he said, daughter. See, Jesus call him daughter. Who are you, daughter? 33, daughter. He wasn't the man of God. No. Jesus had spiritual age. Daughter. Okay, when he resurrected from the dead. He said, what did he call them? Children? Have you any meat? Children, have you any meat? 33, children. You know, you can feel, we children. Not even guys. Children. The person talking. Age in the spirit. So, what I said, Jesus at 12 is the way normal man should be. When I say normal man, not the one who went to school. Schooling is not what make you normal. Schooling can make you more abnormal. I'm not against school, but it can make you mad. Because the designer of school is an abnormal person. So see Jesus at 30. He was telling me that's a normal man. 30. Because we don't know how Adam was before the fall. We don't know. You made me know that nobody knew Adam. For example, he made me know, sir, that the marriage union that existed between Adam and Eve before the fall, nobody has experienced it. But that not too long, people will begin to experience it. Yes, yeah. Yeah. He said people will begin to experience that manner of marriage union before the fall. It was a deep intimacy. If you know this kind of things before the fall, sin, don't do bad things. Please don't love sin. Sin, don't change our estate. All this running, you know, you can't give. You have 1,000. You have 1,000,000. You can't give 500,000. You see now. You see, if I have money, and my brethren are hungry, and I can't give my brethren money, you are not. That's not a normal person. That's not a normal person. And you know, say because you know, there's a shoe I want to buy for Christmas. You know, that's my father. You see, my grown name. That's why I know we do well. In Jesus. So let me move away from those things. But sin broke man down. Adam. That's why you can't talk against Adam. Go and read Bible. Nobody assaulted Adam. Nobody. Sorry, read Bible. Nobody spoke ill. I be talked down on the person of Adam. If you see Adam today, if you see Adam, Adam is a man in glory. Believe me honestly. Adam, if you see Adam, yes, even though he disobeyed God, he didn't practice sin as a life. If you see Adam, please don't boast and say, I'm more than Adam. Please be careful what you say. I'm serious. Adam never tasted bitterness or malice. Till he passed. Adam had opportunity to be bitter and to have malice and no forgiveness. Towards Eve, you are the one that made us eat the tree. Even though he is not an escape boy, he could ride there. He still married them, lived successfully together for almost 800 years. Adam could be bitter towards Cain in that he killed his brother. These are beings of glory. But Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus went past Adam. Jesus Christ, our Lord, became the man God had always thought of. Man like me. That is to say, if I bring this one out, you will call him God. God. So when we say Jesus is God, listen, they don't say it's not Jesus as word. It's man God made. When we say this product is made in Italy, made in Germany, you know it is this you buy. Where they are made from matter. There's made in China. Although China has moved faster now. There's made in Abba. Abba product. But you see, well, let me tell you, Jesus is not made in heaven. He's made by God. Made in God. Anything made in God, the brand name is God. What they label it is God. So if you see Jesus, so when you guys say if you are seeing me, you are seeing the Father, he's not talking as maybe he was word. I want you to see Jesus not as God, but as man. This is where breakthrough must lie. As man, he lived his life as man. Every miracle Jesus did, he did them not as God, but as man. That's why one day when he caused victory, the thing dry up. You know, his disciple called his attention. Master, what did he tell them? You too can do it. In fact, you can do more. I cause victory. You can say to mountain, be thou removed. He was trying to tell them, I'm not different from you. This is what you should do. A normal man. How did Jesus arrive at this place? Jesus obeyed the Father. Obedience to the Father. Jesus had his will. Yes, he was tempted at all points. Yet, is that yet without sin? It's not because maybe immaculate man. No, he could sin. Anything that cannot sin cannot be tempted. God cannot be tempted. So if Jesus was tempted, there is capacity to sin. If Jesus was tempted, Holy Ghost led him to be tempted. God is not a politician. He's not out of confusion. Jesus could sin. He was trying to let me know I'm a full-blown man, 100%. Vulnerable as you can be. But he learned obedience. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Though he was a son. Everybody say, though he was a son. Son. He was a son. Yet, what happened, sir? He learned halamaga. God does not need to learn anything. God does not need to learn obedience. But as a man, he learned obedience. Kalima. He didn't just practice obedience. He was learning obedience. So there's a something called, I'm learning obedience. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Then being made perfect, he now became author of eternal salvation. To them that we obey him. He means the secret of Jesus being anything now is obedience. He learned obedience. That if you want to be like me, you will also learn what I learned. His salvation that Jesus obtained is not by favoritism. Jesus learned obedience. Learn obedience is that Jesus Christ on earth. Ayalama. Do you notice that I don't joke with words? He said, yeah. I want to read my Bible. He said, do you notice that when situation is negative, I don't affirm it? So, like Jairus' daughter. If Jesus Christ say she's dead, she will never come back. She said, she's sleeping. She said, don't worry, that girl is sleeping. Our rent is next week. Whoa, Oma, no money. No money anywhere. You have said it. Yes, sir. But maybe today is not a day for such thing. But I want you to know it's part of the exercise. You can't pray and say something against your prayer.
Father, we receive our money, we receive our rent.
Then, sweetheart, when are we going to pay this?
I just told you, we don't have money anywhere. You are asking for,
you know, what you said already counter what you pray. God is not unjust. We are the one that counter what we say in the spirit realm. Jesus said, every idle word. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy word you shall be justified, and by thy word you shall be condemned. What you say? So he said, I don't just use word. Jesus might have told the Father, permit me to let these people know. I've been telling them Lazarus is sleeping. If Lazarus is sleeping, then we wake up. He tried to tell them so that the thing won't affirm what happened. But they didn't understand. They said, if it's okay, we get well. He has to tell them, okay, I want to tell you plainly. But I've told the Father, let me talk to them in their layman language. Lazarus is dead. Jesus doesn't affirm things like that. It's part of his training as a son. If you do a test and they say you have one terrible thing, fibroid. Don't say you have fibroid. But anyway, we are blessed. It's not a school of faith. Don't say it. It's not lack of faith. It's not, I'm not being truthful. What is truth? What is truth? Yes, sir. The truth is in Jesus, not in the machine. So, how do we learn obedience? So, Jesus was learning obedience until he was made perfect. Jesus was also made perfect. They don't need to make God perfect. God is perfect in himself. Jesus was made perfect. You know, a son is a perfect son. A son is mature. When you say, though he was a son, he was mature. Perfect to God is that when you look like me, when you are my express image, then you are perfect. So Jesus was made exactly like that. Then he became author of that thing. Jesus became author of what he obtained, what he became. He now became author of it. To them that we obey him. So to be made perfect is to obtain eternal salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. That is to be made perfect. And the key to it is that I too will learn obedience. Learn obedience is exercising myself. He told me, he said a few things about what he expects me to be doing every day. And when he told me, he said, as you exercise yourself in it every day, you will falter. Because he knows I'm not yet perfect. He said, but when you falter, repent. So that repentance is also part of my exercise of obedience. So if I fail in those things and I don't repent, it means that I am losing grip of learning. You can be learning this message and be living anyhow. Without any spiritual obligation of living. There are some things you are learning. For example, if you say, learn meekness. Meekness is not a one day thing. Meekness is a learning. Meekness is a practice. The word he told me is a practice. It's a practice. So I become a practitioner of something. He said, practice it. You don't know how to practice. When you say practice humility, you intentionally humble yourself. You don't wait for people to humiliate you. Intention, because you are a practitioner of humility. You practice. You practice it. Any opponent you see, you dive into it. In fact, sometimes you look for the opportunity. Don't say, we are not mechanical. If you are not mechanical, are you electrical? When the Spirit give you instruction, once they give you instruction, humble yourself. You don't just say, Holy Spirit, come and humble me. Don't wait for Holy Spirit to humble you. That one, my brother, he go break you more. Bible say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Jesus Christ say, humble yourself that you will not be humbled. He that is not himself, he will be humbled. Humble there is humiliation. I'm collecting 1 million, 1.5 million. Let me humble myself. But if I say, God, humble me, I may be collecting 500,000. I'll be saying yes, sir, to my third junior. You say you humble me. This is your humility. I'll be humble you. I humble myself in 1.5 million. Because there are things that inflate it. So, number one is money. So when they touch you, when they don't have money, there's a way they behave. Among brethren, to pastors, to daddy, mommy, father, bishop, there's a way they carry themselves. Good morning, sir. Good. You know the way they prostrate, the way they carry back. Let me help you carry, sir. When something don't they enter, small. B. Every morning, ask power to raise you up. So it is in that period you begin to practice some things that the Lord will give you as instruction. Practice them. Practice. Someone say practice. Sir, you must be a practitioner of some things. Practice things. Practice. Whether it's convenient or not, practice them. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the secret of saving is in making intercession. See that uttermost salvation as also eternal salvation to them that obey him. But here, he's making intercession for them. This intercession, the Lord was trying to teach me something, man. I didn't understand what he was trying to teach me. He was just trying to make me see the scripture that all the words Bible use for Jesus, they are words that are obtainable in law, in the practice of law. They are what they use. Number one, mediator in law. Who is a mediator? Just give us one more.
Mediators are people that ensure that parties settle out of court.
Yes, parties settle out of court. So when you want to settle dispute and strengthen people's interest, you bring a mediator. Two people are loggerheads. Two people don't have the same opinion. And you want to reconcile them. So a mediator is a reconciler. Yes, sir. It's a reconcile two people. So Jesus is mediator. Then another word they use, which is also a legal term, is advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Little children, this thing I write to you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Advocacy is different from mediation. You have to understand, mediation is somebody who is settling dispute between two people. The advocate, somebody who is speaking for somebody. On behalf of somebody is talking. This one is different. Intercessor. So this intercession, he maketh intercession for them. He's not praying for them. This intercession is not praying for them. The Greek word they use for intercession here, it's not the Greek word for praying for somebody. The Greek word they use for intercession is parakletos. Parakletos, somebody who is speaking for you, who is pleading for you, who is conversing for you, who is speaking well on your behalf. That is, who is an helper. That is parakletos. But the Greek word there is not parakletos. So intercession here is another Greek word that talk about to lighten on you. Making intercession for them is to lighten on them. Two, to speak to them. Lighten on them, speak to them, converse with them, communion with them. If you hire a lawyer, your lawyer will stand for you in the court and plead your cause. Make sure he convinces the judge you are innocent. You know lawyers now. He will make sure he stands by you and be telling the judge what they accuse you for, you are not guilty. He will prove points to let you know so that you can go. But let me tell you, that's not all that lawyers do. Lawyers will go again and talk to you personally. This is what you should talk. When you are questioned, this is how you should answer. When you are questioned, this is what you say. Hope you heard me. He will say, rehearse it. Because the lawyer knows another lawyer's mind. He is a lawyer too. At the time, he has accused people. He knows the lawyer's mind. So he'll be using that lawyer's mind to talk to you. When he asks you, When you woke up, did you receive a call? Tell them, I can't remember. You mean you can't remember? And the Lord, are you daft that you can't remember what you did? Well, I had many things on my mind that day. He will stand up. Objection, my Lord, you can't be. You know what those kind of... He will put you through. And he expects you to do exactly what he says you do. Or else, if he defend you and you do contrary, you can't be justified. I know maybe I'm talking to you. Jesus does that to us. That's what intercession means. After I've pleaded your case, after I've raised up your matter, after I defended you before the judge, you know God is the righteous judge. He will come and talk to you, educate you, enlighten you, give you principle on what how you should live a manner of life. We have an adversary. People must know you have an adversary. You see, you are just living like though your life is normal. Nothing is normal about you. Nothing. To get a lady, you have an adversary. To be pregnant, you have an adversary. I'm just telling you that you get a girl, you get a sister, you marry, you have children. Don't think that things are not running the spirit. There are a lot of intercessions. What? You are an avowed enemy of Satan. Satan hates you badly. I don't want you to know. In case you get a job, you are getting your pay coming every month. Don't think it's normal like that. It's not normal. That's not normal. Go travel all day. It's not normal. It's not normal at all. You sleep, you wake up. It's not normal. For another person, maybe normal. But you, there's someone who hates you, who wish you go to a labor theater and never come out. I'm telling you. That's why here, when you come to some zone, you don't play with your local church. When you come to some zone, there are some zones you can play with local church. Hear me, sir. When you start being reconciled with God, new birth is not reconciliation. That you are born again doesn't mean you have been reconciled. There is a phase of your Christian journey, of your growth, that you become reconciled with God. Reconciliation with God is that you see the person of God and then you agree with it. So you see, when we say mediation, mediation is not that Jesus is settling fight between you and God. When it's a mediator between God and man, God is not fighting with you. You are the one fighting with God. Everything in you is against God. To settle interest, you don't have any interest. What's your interest? Vanity. Mediation is that I want to reconcile you with the original plan, original purpose. So mediation begins the ministry of Jesus to you to make you see who God is. That's a God is salvation. He will be painting God to you as salvation and make you know that is your inheritance. So seeing God as my inheritance is when reconciliation begins. Because I can be born again and not see the end of my faith. People are born again for different reasons. People are born again for different reasons. I'm born again to make heaven. I'm born again to have a good family. Some people just got born again not to be poor. Some people got born again to have a good family. The way my parents suffer, I don't want to suffer like that. I just want Jesus to give me a good home, good husband, good children. That's just their hope for being born again. I'm born again because I don't want household enemy to overcome me. Money de agbara ma darikan. Agbara tayo le fojuko. To wa ninu Jesu. Jesu Christ ni apata mi. He will still do that for you. He will give you good home. But that is not reconciliation. Reconciliation is when Jesus ministers to you, make you see God as your inheritance. Then you agree with it. Because reconciliation, you agree. There's agreement that will come. I agree that salvation is my inheritance. And then I'm pursuing it. That's when reconciliation begins. When reconciliation begins, then adversity begins. Adversary. Because the why he has been pampering you to make sure that you don't see the course of life. To make sure that you are not going out of the terrain of vanity. But now that you have started seeing, that's what people say, I don't know, when I started this message, things just went crazy. Maybe this message is not meant for me. It is meant for you. That things went crazy is to show that you are in the right course. I feel that when I enter this message of salvation, things will just align. Things are aligning already. What is falling apart is what should fall apart in your life. They are just shaking you so that things can go. But if there's anything I say you don't like, forgive me. It's just the truth. God, I've seen people that do that. People do that a lot. Since I started, my life was arranged. When I started hearing this message, I came to this church, everything just falling apart. It has to fall apart. Two, you have an adversary that will make sure he uses everything around you to fight you to make sure you rekind or change your mind in the reconciliation cause. So that moment, adversity will begin. And he will make sure he uses everything against you. That time, you need the succor of your local church. You need the succor of your brethren. You need succor of spiritual oversight. That things wrong well with you, it means certain things are already in place. Spiritual oversight are praying. Brethren are praying. Believe me, nothing goes for good to somebody who is being mediated. If you travel and come back, give Jesus all praise. You don't say it's a normal thing. You are not normal again. So that adversary know how to wash you down before God. He has two names. He has a name called devil. He has a name called Satan. Devil. Devil part of him is the one that accuses you. The word for devil means accuser. Defamer. Defamer. You know defamer? The person who wash you down. So he will come to you to wash you down. Remind you of everything that you do wrong. And let you know you are good for nothing. He'll be talking ill of you, talk ill of the message, talk ill of dignitaries of the message. That's why the Bible says, be vigilant. Be what again? Because your adversary, the devil, seeking whom he may devour. Devour there is that he will wash you. So, but that's not the only thing. He talks to you to bring you down. Then he talks to God on your fault. On your fault. Bible says, railing accusation. He's the one that accuses the bread day and night before our God. He'll be talking ill of you before God. Satan knows what you are looking for. You are looking for salvation. I want to be like, he said, it's not worthy of you. Yesterday, he will bring cases. Cases. He will bring cases. These are not false cases. You know Elohim knows the truth. He will bring real time scenario. Legitimate cases. When you fail to do fervent charity, Satan know what you are hearing. Satan know the message you are hearing. Satan know they just offer fervent charity in your church. He knows it. Don't think that you are not well televised. Please, I want to tell you too, so that you can be freer. And you can know how to carry yourself in the spirit. Anything I do, if I do something to you, it doesn't go like that. Something is registered in the spirit realm. You have to understand that. This is the way me I see things. Believe me honestly. That's why I make quick adjustment. Anytime I see a fault, you don't need to beg me. So if they beg you for to do right, you don't know what you are doing. You don't know what is counting in the spirit realm. You argue, you fight, then you say, I don't have time for you. Then you stay there. You stay in that malice there. Husband greet wife in the morning, sweet and good morning. Baba, you don't know. It's more than that. A lot are taking place. The same person who is already opening your case in spirit realm will come and talk to you. He has pointed Elohim attention to you. Elohim! She's keeping malice with her husband. She's not worthy. Let me deal with her more. Jesus, advocate, will say no. Then we come and meet you. You can't forgive him. He will play the scenario again. Make you see what your husband did again. And he let you know this thing is not ordinary. Then give you date of how he has done it before. I'm saying the thing that they happen. Ma, this thing are real. He'll be making you remember how he did it 2 weeks ago. He will bring a scenario. He will put the word in your mouth. So that when your sister goes, sweetheart, I'm sorry. That's how you did it. 2 weeks ago. He will make you know the cloth the person wore. So that in case he argued I didn't do it. He said, you did it. You wore green cloth that day. He keeps record. So at that instant when flashes are coming, don't think you are the one. No, somebody is talking to you. And at that instant, he's doing so, he's deferring you. You must not be ignorant of the devices. So when it starts like that, start coming, just know somebody is talking to me. So you can say, yes, he did it 3 weeks ago. Yes, don't say he didn't do it, but I have forgiven him that time. I already told him I've forgiven him. When you start talking like that, he will react back. You should not forgive him. He will still do it next week. You see, he has done it now. Then you have to tell him the things they taught us. So the voice of the Son of God that came to you on excelling charity, you know what he's doing. Because that time, that's when he weaponized you. Charity believeth all things. Charity opened. You see the thing becoming your heart. There are times word will spring. Charity opened all things. It will change. Some say, oh, that's how you have been saying we change. This part of me cannot change. It's your cross. It's not your cross. Everybody, all of us here, we will no longer cooperate with the devil. Yeah. Is it the amen you can say? So here, when he now begins to intercede, intercession here is that he knows what is happening in the realm of the spirit. You don't know. Many times we don't know there are cases, accusations are against us. Many times we don't know. The only time you may know, if you are a spiritual person, that you know how you slept yesterday. You did your devotion, you slept well. You wake up in the morning, your heaven is clouded. Does it happen to anybody? Okay, few people. But you know, you just wake up and you see, you know how you slept. You had your devotion, you had your fellowship, you enjoy your sleep. You didn't dream bad dream. You woke up in the morning, then your heaven is dry. Does it happen to anybody, sir? Ah, because the Bible says it's an accuser day and night. When you are sleeping, somebody is accusing. No, it's in Bible like that now. When you are sleeping, somebody is accusing. You bring out your case. You will be afraid. You will not be afraid. You see, I'm just telling you what he does, but we also have an advocate with the Father. So as he's bringing it up, he too is talking for you. That's it. He's talking for you. He that watches over Israel does not slumber. It's not that God can't sleep because one thing will kill you. No, it's because he's making sure your heavens are free. So sometimes you may wake up with one kind of heaven, then you have a word in your spirit. I don't know if it has happened to you. I'm just saying the way things happen, these things happen. Your heaven may be clouded, but you have a word in your spirit, like a commandment. That word that drop is outcome of what has happened. It may just walk in this thing. Because you won't see Jesus Christ physically, but it will lighten on you. Sometimes I can bring an understanding of how you undo your brethren yesterday that you didn't even know it was wrong. When you notice that, don't first of all argue that thing. Look at it. You can call that your brother. Then he will tell you what thing. He may use scripture, maybe pastor's voice you hear in your heart. It may be his message that play back. Fervent, charity, does not keep record of wrong. That will just pass. When it comes, just start doing it. You know, within some hour, your heaven will be lit. It happened. This is a reality. You know, your atmosphere is free. Joy is calm. Peace is calm. Because it has lighting on you now, and it's pointing the Father's attention to you. Father has spoken to him. I've not done this thing well. Listen, when Satan accuses you before the Father doesn't argue. The judge doesn't sit, he observes. He look at what he say. He see that this person actually has a point. He has a proof. Then the advocate is talking. He tells the Father, Father, I'm not saying he didn't do it. But Father, that he doesn't deserve you is not true. He already believed the message. He's a man. He can make mistake. Father, I'm working on him. This thing he did is true, but I'm working on him. Father, on the account that Abraham believed you, you are candidate for righteousness. This one also believes you, so he has righteousness. Let me work more on him. Father, let me work more on him. So the judge is the one who raised the advocate for mankind. Because before the advocate, Satan always have his way. He's the one that put Job in trouble. It's not God.
Job even says, I wish I have an advocate. Somebody will plead my cause. Nobody. See, when God told Satan, have you observed my servant? Let me tell you, he knew that it was because of Job he came. Satan is not all-knowing. He's not all-knowing. Satan has observed Job. He must have come for Job's case. So God could have brought it out. He's like, where's your brother Abel? He said, Job. And he said, does Job love you for nothing? He means he has observed him. So somebody said in John, he said, if not for Jesus, he said, Satan can tell God, that brother, that man, the way he's fine is because that's why he loves you. Let me batter the face. Let me batter his face. If he will still praise you. When he said him, my brother, he's one of the brethren. When he reviewed it, Satan can see anything. Satan can see anything. I'm telling you, Satan can see anything. So God raised a competent man for us. That's an advocate. He's always speaking. But when he finished speaking, the way he made me understand, he said, speaking for you before the Father cannot change you. Speaking for you is succor. But I need to work on you. So salvation is in his intercession. He is able to save them to the altar, seeing that he lived to make intercession. So intercession is where salvation is. If he keeps speaking, it's like me, always pleading your case before pastor. Pastor, please, sir, forgive him, sir. Please, sir, forgive him, sir. You know, that is just to persuade him. Keep a link. It doesn't mean you have changed. The work will be better if I come to talk to you. This thing you are doing is not right. While I'm still talking on your behalf, I should be working on you. So while I keep talking on your behalf, he's pleading my cause, so interceding for. That's one part. The second part is that he also wants to work on you. So that with time, in the process of time, reconciliation will have reached its crescendo that the accuser will not have anything to talk again. Where Jesus Christ take joy in our lives is that in 3 months, what they accuse you of, you're already out of it. You don't know Satan can be on a point in your life for 5 years. Just one point for 5 years. I'm not saying 2 months. He can be on the same point for 5 years. It may be an attitude. You know, attitude is part of your personality. It may be attitude to instruction. Anytime instruction comes in church, you are number one. You see that? That you do is like a loudspeaker in the spirit realm. That you do, boom. Where is that coming from? It's from Himalaya's heart. They happen very well. It can be attitude towards husband. Some ladies have particular attitude towards their husband. Perpetual attitude of disrespect. Anytime it should come up, they will show the disrespect. So you see, Satan can stay there with you for that as long as he remains. He's not want to bring up before God. Want to bring up. You have other things, but this one, you know, it's your weak spot. And you'll be digging into it. That's when you may be reading books that tell you why you should not trust all men. Satan can bring things your way, materials. I'm not lying to you. This thing I'm doing, if you know the impact in spirit realm, honestly, we'll change faster. We are not just coming to church receiving mercy. There's a lot going on in the realm of the spirit. There's a lot going on from Jesus, from the adversary. A lot are going on. We have to be awoken to know spirit realm. Not that we are afraid. So that we can connect with Jesus properly. In what he's doing for us and to us. Don't just continue living anyhow. In fact, that warm language, I hate it. That is me. What are you? That you call me Satan's logo. Satan's signature. Can you call patience? That is me. Can you call meekness? That is me. Can you call humility? That is me. Can you call obedience? That is me. Why is it that this anger you create? That is me. Why you carry Satan's signature? That is me. Why you throw away? Satan know what he put in you. And he will kiss you on that ground. He can tell God, this person we are talking about is mine. I see my things in him. That way he uses every day. He uses my things every day. He's a liar. He's a pretender. Then Jesus Christ will come. No, he's not a liar. This thing he's dealing with is more than him.
these things are generational. And I'm saving him. The father will say, yes, I know you are saving. The father loves Jesus. But the father knows what Satan is saying is actually right somewhere. So the father will listen to it and say, I'm working on him. Father, observe. Within a short period, you see that he will change. High priest will be ministering. Obedience is when he talks to you. Because he will not stop talking. Hearing Jesus' voice is not difficult. It's not difficult. Before, people say, I don't know. How do we have to hear? I say, this is not difficult. Keep listening to your pastor. Keep hearing your pastor. Just keep hearing your shepherd. Pastor that is feeding you with the knowledge of him. Keep hearing him. Later, you see that you are hearing Jesus. You hear better when you hear your pastor. So I don't need my pastor, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost uses your pastor to talk to you. I won't lie to you. This is not by expectation of man. This is the truth. It's not everybody that knows the shepherd's voice immediately. If you look at the lamb, lamb follows sheep. Because lamb can't follow shepherd immediately. Lamb follows sheep, sheep follows shepherd. Before you can become a sheep, it will take some time. Listen, today's message has brought some certain particular voice of the Lord to you. As a minister, voice will enter your heart. Voice is judgment. His voice does not mean you hear audible voice every time. His voice is judgment. Understanding. You see that? Understanding just come on you. That understanding that rests upon your heart is his voice. You see that? His voice can guide you. Understanding can guide you. Understanding can instruct you. Anytime your husband talks to you, this is the way you should behave. You just have an understanding. Particular understanding that comes to you on a matter. Sometimes you hear a voice, but sometimes it's not every time you hear a voice. Sometimes you have understanding. That understanding is also his voice. That understanding is his intercession. At that time, he lighting on you to change your person. Because they are using this, your person, against you. And I'm aware of it. But I'm now here to change your person. So I give you this understanding for living. Give me understanding and I will live. I give you this understanding. When you start obeying that understanding, the church in the spirit realm will become weaker. Because you'll be pointing the father's attention to you. That father, see, the understanding I gave him to live is living by it. Why you fail, they don't count it as though you have sinned. It's not that you don't sin, but they know that as human, you are still learning. It's like a child who is learning to walk. He can still fall down, rise again. So they don't bother. As far as you are obeying it, you are on the right course. I saw that some of us have lost battles in the spirit. I want to tell you today that from today, you are gaining mastery of battles. Unknowingly, ignorantly, I'm not saying as a church, a few of us, some of us, we lost some ground. I could see some cooperating with the devil over brethren, over spouse, cooperating with the devil. You just, when I say cooperated, you took side with the adversary over a matter. You can't move over your head, you took side with the adversary. So you lose ground, but I see the Lord restoring seasons again to some of us here. Areas we have failed from this season, from today, we begin to rise up more. Yeah. I'm not saying we are failures, but we are not yet perfect. Area the enemy has cheated us in nature. Things we have heard done to. Ideologies we have heard. Mind, mentalities we have heard. That is making Satan to have strong, particular strong gold in our lives. In our situations. I say this season we are coming out of there. Yeah. I say we are coming out of there. People will prolong earth issue. You are coming out of it. Sometimes the Lord point at man. He say, if you pray on a situation, earth, where they don't prolong, check some things. Check some things. There can be a ground you don't know. Check some things. Check some things. There are things like that. That they are a grand enemy stand on. Their grand is stand on. That when things are prolonging, it's not everyone, but some things, when they prolong, check some things. They are a grand. It's possible that in that period of life, we are taking side with him over those things. We can take side with him. can take side. It can be on anything. But I am praying our season will be restored again. Whatever the Son of God will say to you in this season, I pray, receive grace to do it. It's my prayer for us as a people. I'm praying, whatever we hear the Son of God say, I say we will do it. Every place we have cooperated with the adversary, he has cheated us, he has said things to us, he has held us down. I am praying the voice of the Son of God will set us free. This salvation, we are going to get it. I say we are going to get this salvation. This nature change, we will get it. Everything Satan has made boast of. I know things that have changed in my life. And I know things that are still changing. But I know things that have changed. I know Satan has lost some battles over me. Because they are nature he always hold on to. And I know I see those nature now under my feet. But there are some I still know I'm fighting. I'm not fighting them by praying only. I'm fighting them by another commandment. Commandment, 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 instructions, instructions. When the Son of God give me word, I obey it. I try to. That's why I say I make quick adjustment. I tell you, I say, Jesus, if there's anything you want me to do, if I see it, I will do it immediately. I won't drag. If I'm making a curse towards somebody and I have a check immediately. Sometimes I want to say something. When understanding light comes, I won't say it and say, Lord, I'm sorry. If I say it before I understand, it's understandable. But if light comes to me, I would rather turn. There are times when you win an argument, you think you have won. You just lost a battle. When you hold money back from your brethren, you just lost a battle. When you are supposed to give it. There are battles people of God keep losing. But they think they are gaining. People, somebody is shouting on you, you shout your own back. You just lost a battle. That's the time to be quiet. And allow his word to form an atmosphere of peace around you. I don't want us to pray, Son of God, every area I've neglected your voice. Every area I've not obeyed your voice. Every area I've given the enemy a chance. I'm repenting today and I'm making a new commitment. That when understanding comes, when your voice comes, I will obey. I will do then. I too will learn obedience. I will learn obedience. I want us to pray for obedient spirit. Please pray for obedient spirit. We will win many cases in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, pray for obedient spirit.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.